Father, I really do thank you for being here with us tonight. And Father God, as the people sang that song, I thank you, Father God, that you started the work that you will not stop until you complete it. I thank you, God, that you're here with us tonight. We're leaning on your everlasting arm tonight, Father God, knowing that you're well able to keep us in the midst of every storm and every trial that comes our way. And Father, I thank you for it. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. You know, I've been reading about that Belgium attack, and now they keep saying that the terrorists are going to do something to America. And this is a time you really have to learn to lean on the Lord. This is a time you have to really know that He has your hand and He's keeping you safe. It's not a time to walk in fear, but it's a time to pray. And it's just time to walk close to God. Are we listening here tonight? What? None of us know what tomorrow holds. That's why we should live each day like it's our last day. You know, God says so, right? Tonight I want to teach you about learning to lean. Well, I want to say something else first. We're going to be changing our praise and worship. I don't know when, but because I'm seeking God's face. I know He's been wanting us to change, and we've been just trying to figure out what He wants us to do. So I know it's going to be a slower pace. It's not going to be as jumpy as it has been, but it'll be in God's timing. It'll be the way God wants it. So please, whenever we start changing to praise and worship around those things, like, what are they doing now? We're just trying to stay in tune with what God is trying to get us to do. And then I was also reading an article by Harfouch, his wife, where she, years and years ago, she was taken into heaven, and she gives her whole description of what happened in heaven. But the reason why I read the article was because she said, see, when we first started this revival, God said it's during the praise and worship that the miracle's going to happen, okay? That's why I'm really putting a big emphasis on the praise and worship. And so she said that God showed her, told her, that in this dispensation we're in right now, the miracles are going to occur as the praise and worship in the churches meet the praise and worship in heaven. And when the two collide, then miracles are going to happen. So this is why I've been really listening for God now for about 2 weeks. What are you wanting to do with the praise and worship? Because I know there's a change in the air. So guys, it's in the praise and worship where the miracles are going to happen. That's what you saw when we had revival here all the time. That's how it always happened. All the miracles happened during praise and worship. I mean, God just moved mightily. And it wasn't nothing about the teaching. It was all in the praise and worship. So, you know, we can get up. We can meet heaven as quick as we want or we won't. Because it's how we enter into praise and worship determines whether or not we're meeting the worship in heaven. All right? I would like for everybody who has an attitude to adjust it right now, please. It really bothers me. I'm sitting up here trying to minister, and I look back there and I see kids with attitudes all over their faces. Please adjust your attitude. Do it right now. You really do disturb the moving of the Spirit. And we pray really hard to get the Spirit keep the Spirit moving in here, and we don't need your attitude to disturb it. Now, I would teach on learning to lean. And I just want to talk about the different things we've been going through. We have been going through different seasons of change, right? For a season, God allowed us to bask in His beauty and behold the new things He revealed to us. Then we went into wrestling. We underwent wrestling within our situations and circumstances. God purposed to change us and transform us into maturity as His sons and daughters. This is what He's been constantly trying to change us. He's been telling us to get off the bottle, get onto the meat. He wants us to be mature sons and daughters so that He can use us to go ahead and reap this harvest that's out there. All right? From our season of wrestling, we went into a season of building courage, stamina, and holiness. A time of toughening and preparation for big battles. Time of building faith in a deeper way than ever before. Time of His holy challenge for us. Now, if you're reading anything prophetically, you're hearing people say this is a time of great joy in the Lord, but it's also a time of a great battle in the Lord. All right? This time period came to an end. All right, so I said time of his holy challenge for us. This time period came to an end, and we found ourselves in the fourth birthing of even more intense change, which was God's judging us. He judged everything that he could. He shook everything that he could possibly shake, right? Then a season of happiness. Remember when the joy broke out, in which the Lord sent his bountiful reward for his own. The next season was one of a double-edged sword. For the world, it was another set of warnings to repent and revere him. A gathering and reaping of what each sowed. In other words, what we have sown, we were reaping. It was also a painful time for those of his own who stubbornly rejected his continuous whisper in their ears to surrender in one or other area of life. They will be going through the rough times. Now, he knows who they are. I see a sad thing here. They seem like they follow God very close, but in reality, they do wickedly in the dark. This is what I see. This is what I'm feeling in the atmosphere. This is what I actually see with my own two eyes. You act real godly, but you're really not. And see, God sees all that. God warned us to, number one, yield to him and not pick and choose surrenders. All right? Number two, wash our robes because it was hidden. It has hidden spots that many do not notice, but these spots are not hidden from God's eyes. Search our hearts and separate his precious from what the heart stubbornly holds on to. He's been telling us to get rid of our idols, right? Those who matured through the test while in the wrestling season enlarged their faith in the process. The Lord is now repositioning each one to be under the best fitting umbrella of his protection and ministry. They will be elevated to harvest. Those of you who did everything that God was trying to do with your life, let him change in every area of your life. Now, you're under a special umbrella of protection, and you're ready to go ahead and bring in the harvest for him. Or a bigger harvest of a different setting in his spirit. Or he might be, you're going to have a different type of harvest. It's going to be in the spirit realm. And those that are going in that direction, God's going to use you mightily out there in the world to bring in the lost and the dying. This transition is a giving up of the strength of the flesh and mounting into the strength of the Lord. Read that again. This transition is a giving up of the strength of the flesh and mounting into the strength of the Lord. 2 Chronicles 15:1-19. Let's read that. Now the Spirit of God came upon Ezra, the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Ahaz and said to him, "Hear me, Ezra, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord, now listen to this, this pertains to us. The Lord is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you." For a long time, Israel has been without the true God, without a teaching priest, and without law. But when in their trouble they turned to the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found by them. So even though they were doing all that in their time of trouble, when they sought him, he found them. And in those times there was no peace to the one who went out, nor to the one who came in. But great turmoil was on all the inhabitants of the lands. So nation was destroyed by nation and city by city, for God troubled them with every adversity. But you are strong and do not let your hands be, but you be strong and do not let your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. And I just want to stop there. Each one of you in here tonight, I want to tell you one thing. You might have been going through hell, but God's going to reward you because you kept yourself strong in the Lord. You kept your faith. And even when you felt like there was no place to turn, you just kept looking up and you kept holding on to his hand. God's going to reward each and every one that did that. Because he said you have found great favor in his eyes. And wherever you go, he's going to allow you to find favor wherever you go and whatever you place your hands to do. So these last 10 years of hell have not been for naught. God has been with us all the time. He's been strengthening us, and he's been bringing us to a special place in him. All right? It says, "But you be strong and do not let your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded." And when Ahaz heard these words and the prophet of Oded, the prophet, he took courage and removed the abominable idols from all the land of Judah and Benjamin and from the cities which he had taken in the mountains of Ephraim. And he restored the altar of the Lord that was before the vestibule of the Lord. Now look at it. Listen to all the wonderful things he did for God. Then he gathered all Judea and Benjamin and those who dwelt with them from Ephraim, Manasseh, and Simeon. For they came over to him in great numbers from Israel when they saw that the Lord has his God was with him. So they gathered together at Jerusalem in the third month in the 15th year of the reign of Ahaz. And they offered to the Lord at that time 700 bulls, 7,000 sheep from the spoil they had brought. Then they entered into a covenant. See, they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul. And I know some of you have entered into that covenant with God yourself, and you've sought him with every, you're still seeking him with every fiber of your being. Keep seeking him. And whoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel was to be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. Then they took an oath before the Lord with a loud voice, with shouting and trumpets and ram's horns. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart and sought him with all their soul. And he was found by them, and the Lord gave them rest all around. Also he removed Maacah, the mother of Ahaz the king, from being queen mother, because she had made an obscene image of Asherah. And Ahaz cut down her obscene image, then crushed and burned it by the brook Kidron. He didn't care who it was. They were not going to serve idols. And this is the way we have to be in our own private lives. You are not going to serve idols. You don't care who wants to serve them. They're not going to serve them. If it's your house, you have control over your house, and they're not going to serve the idols. You listening? But the high places were not removed from Israel. Nevertheless, the heart of Ahaz was loyal all his days. He also brought into the house of God the things that his father had dedicated and that he himself had dedicated, silver and gold and utensils. And there was no war until the 35th year of the reign of Ahaz. Now, 2 Chronicles 15 talks about King Ahaz pleasing God. But when it came to his transition in 2 Chronicles chapter 16, Ahaz refused and leaned back on his own strength. Now, this is a very imperative time in your walk with God. Please do not lean back on your own strength. Even though all hell is beating at your door, don't go back on your own strength. It is still God that's keeping you. It's still God that's covering you. It is still God that's going to bring you forth, not your strength. Now, let's read what he did here. And at that time, Hannah, the seer, came to Ahaz, king of Judah, and said to him, "Because you have relied on the king of Syria and have not relied on the Lord your God, therefore the army of the king of Syria has escaped from your hand. Were the Ethiopians and the Lubim not a huge army with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because you relied on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand." See that? "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. In this you have done foolishly, therefore from now on you shall have wars." See, when he started relying on his own self, then God withdrew his grace. Then Ahaz was angry with the seer. Now look at the poor seer. "And put him in prison, for he was enraged at him because of this, and Ahaz oppressed some of the people at that time." Note that the acts of Ahaz, first and last, are indeed written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. And in the 39th year of his reign, Ahaz became diseased in his feet, and his malady was severe. Yet in his disease, he did not seek the Lord, but the physicians. See that? So Ahaz rested with his fathers. He died in the 41st year of his reign. Now, you do not want to be like this king. You started out good. End good. Stay connected to the Father. There's some things going to come down the road that are not going to be nice in the world. But you don't look at the things that are coming down the road. You look at the Father, who's the author and finisher of your life, and you keep your hand in his and just watch how he'll protect you. 2 Chronicles 15 talks about King Ahaz pleasing God, but when it came to his transition, Ahaz refused and leaned back on his own strength. This is a warning for the season that we are in right now. As we lean on him, you and God, blessings will flow. As we lean on our own strength, strife will follow. People are still doing things in their own flesh and their own strength. They are not seeking God's face before they do anything. Why not? We need to seek God's face about all things, and if we do, then we're not going to go astray. Isn't that right? There is a fork in the road, and the choice is our strength or His. We'll read 2 Chronicles 16:9 again. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are loyal to Him. Now, is your heart loyal to God? That he, when he was seeking, remember I said I kept seeing that eye, and when he was seeking, did he find you loyal to him? If he did, then he's going to strengthen you. He's going to be with you throughout all the days of your life. You won't have to worry about anything. I didn't say you wouldn't have troubles. I didn't say that. I said you didn't have to worry about anything because God would be with you and he would be for you and he would see you through all things. Psalm 133, verse 1 through 3 says, a song of ascents of David. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Husbands and wife, you have to get in unity, or the enemy is always going to have an inroad into your family. It is like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard of Aaron running down on the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. By reading Psalm 133, we notice that the oil is not to be contained, but it is to continually flow. Just as the dew on Mount Hermon manifests on a daily basis, so is the anointing to be fresh every day in our lives. Are you listening here? Every day you need a brand new, fresh anointing from the Father. Every day. You know, whenever you talk about the, it says it is like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard of Aaron running down on the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. You know, one night when I was really stressed out and troubled, I walked out on my back on my patio, and there was dew out there, and it was just where I was standing. It wasn't anywhere else. And I said, God, what is this? He said, this is the dew of Hermon. I brought it to you. See, in other words, I'm trying to tell you this, when you're stressed out, when you're troubled, God will do this to you. He'll bring this to you. Amen. I remember one other time when I was really stressed out and troubled. A lot of things were going on in my life. And God said, I'm bringing the alabaster box to you. See, God always comes to you. He always comforts you. So why would you want to serve any other God? Our Father in heaven, He knows exactly what you have need of, and He loves you. He loves you with an everlasting love. And He's, I don't care, you know, just because He said He brought the dew of Hermon, that didn't take away my problem, but it sure did encourage me. I didn't know what the dew of Hermon was. I had to go look it up. But once I looked it up, I was all, got all excited, you know. But the alabaster box, I knew what that was, and I said, God, no, you can't do this. Yes, I can. And I just did. Amen. If each one of you in here tonight could just grasp what God is really like, if you could just grasp who He really is, the enemy wouldn't be able to come and toss you to and fro. If you would just receive everything that He wants, He's trying to give you, if you would just believe Him, the enemy would have no more inroads into your life. Amen? Excuse me. The anointing is to flow from the head down, covering the entire body. As a result, we become empowered with more anointing to fulfill our destiny. And I really believe too that, you know, that whenever we say, you know, it needs to be poured down from the head down, I really believe that belongs in the church too. That the anointing comes from the head down, it just covers the whole body, and everybody walks around with the anointing. Everybody walks around with the fire and the power, and you can go out of here and you can work individually and accomplish great mighty things for the Father. Amen. To ensure a fresh flow of anointing, we must daily position ourselves under the direction and headship of Christ and submit to His plan. You know, every morning you should submit yourself to God. God, I have this plan, but if you have something else planned for me, your plans come before my plans. Amen. This is when we know we are allowing ourselves to become broken. That's why I like that song. So I said, to ensure a fresh flow of anointing, we must daily position ourselves under the direction and headship of Christ and submit to His plan. This is when we know we are allowing ourselves to become broken. It is now Thy will be done rather than My will be done. Come on. Some of you might have bought a ticket for Florida, and God said, I don't want you to go to Florida. Let me stay right here, because I have something I want you to do tomorrow. And you can't do it if you're in Florida. Are you listening? Come on. You know, this is really a really trying time in the body of Christ, because, see, God is changing us drastically. He's asking us to do new and different things that we're very uncomfortable with. You know, we've never been down that road before. And the enemy's going to come and try to make you believe it's really not God. He's going to come and make you second guess yourself. Don't allow him to do that. Please don't allow him to do that. You know, all these teachings we've been having up to now have all been to get us to a place where we will be solidified in Christ Jesus. And God's going to be able to drop his anointing, and the enemy will not be able to take you off course. All the things that God does in the altar, it's all to take you to a higher level in him than you've ever been before. And like I told you many, many times, you might think, you know, you go out in the spirit, but you know, don't know anything. When you get up, you didn't hear anything, didn't feel anything. But I'm going to guarantee you, something changed in your DNA. God did a work within you, whether you felt it or not, whether you saw anything or not. He did a work within you. From experience, I'm telling you that over the years, I'd get up and say, well, I don't know why. You know, I lay there for hours and I didn't see nothing. Some people see visions, you know, and they see all kind of things. I said, I don't even know what I did down there. But I was changed during those times. And God did powerful things within me. Amen. And I know that he increased the anointing in those times too. He does increase the anointing in you when you're laying in the spirit before him. We have been allowing God to break us. We talk about the breaker anointing that goes before us and breaks open a move of the spirit. Therefore, mindsets and traditions become broken, all right, because of his breaking through on our behalf. Therefore, mindsets and traditions become broken because of his breaking through on our behalf. We have come to a place that we understand that unless we are also broke, the breaker cannot bring us into the fulfillment, into a past tense where it is already fulfilled. We have come to a place that we understand that unless we are also broke, the breaker cannot bring us into fulfillment. Now, are you letting God break you or not? Yeah, only you know. Only you know what you're allowing God to do. If you really want the fullness of the Godhead, then you have to let God break you. How many of you just laid there and cried, all right, God, do what you got to do. I just surrender. I just do it, Lord. You know, I lay there a lot and pray whenever I have little Isaiah there in bed with me. And I say, dear God, what are you doing to me? And here today he said, dear God, what are you doing? So, you know, he's listening to me. You know, I talk out loud. But, you know, really, how many of you have said that to God? What are you doing? I even said, have you lost your mind, Father? You know, because he breaks and he breaks, doesn't he? And, you know, he keeps on breaking. You think, what else could you possibly do? You'd be surprised what else he can possibly do. Believe me, I've been in this a long time, and I know he can do a whole bunch. You think that there is just not anything else that he can do? Wrong. There's all, but you and I really believe until we go to heaven, there's just always going to be something that can be broken in us. I really do believe that. We are often like wild horses that need to be broke into a place of submission. A wild horse will buck, snarl, and kick while the owner is trying to tame him. And finally, after great exhaustion, the wild horse will surrender his will to the master. Isn't that just like the church? Believe me, I'm going to tell you, the past 10 years, I said, dear Lord, why don't you just kill the whole church? Because they're like a stubborn mule, really. You know, when you're a pastor and you watch this, they're just like a stubborn mule, you know. You think, are they ever going to get this? You know, how much longer do I have to do this, Father? You know, and I'm like, I think like a few other pastors, I said, God, the Word is not doing it. We need you. We need you to manifest yourself in a way you've never manifested yourself before, because I preached the Word every way I can think about preaching it, and it is not working. People are not changing. They come into church one way, and they might believe a different way. They might believe a little bit harder when they came in, but they're not changing the way they should. All right, I said, isn't this just like the church? We kick and scream and ask why, right? Which only delays the plans of the Father, I found out. However, once we surrender to His perfect will, there is a breakthrough, because we are now broke. When you say, okay, God, I'm tired of going around this mountain, you're broke. Do what you got to do, Father, but just get it done. We finally came to the understanding that for the anointing to flow, we had to experience brokenness. And we allowed God to take His wrecking ball and break us. That song we sing about the wrecking ball, you know. Do you ever just go that big old ball come out and you smash it into a million pieces, and then watch little potter's hands pick up your pieces and smack you around and reform you and remake you, right? See, wouldn't it be wonderful if we knew all this when we first got born again? If somebody would just been wise enough to tell us, hey, you know, God's going to smack you down so many times in your lifetime and reform and remake you until He has you into the perfect person He wants you to be. But here we sit in church. Nobody ever told us all this stuff. And we just thought we was all great and wonderful and all on our way to heaven. And all the time we was all on our way to hell. Because we were not broke. We were just doing our thing. We were not doing God's thing. But thank God. Revelation. The light bulb finally came on. Hey, He's trying to get my attention. I have to change. Right? All right, this is what God said. Ponder it now. I have prepared a different new path for you. Yield, beloved, to my pressure for you to trust me more. That's what that was all about, huh? I know it is, because God said to me, daughter, you don't trust me. I said, yes, I do. He said, no, you don't. And I found out, no, I wasn't trusting Him fully the way I should. God says, as I am birthing in you a deep desire to lean on me against your common sense, I am teaching you how to proceed in my strength. The demand to lean heavy on me will be more and more serious. Before each step, you will have a choice to do. Before each step, you have a choice to do business as usual or to go into the unfamiliar to resolve it with my means. I'm going to stop there, because God told me one time, He said, daughter, your problem is I'm doing something new with you and you're not familiar with it, so you're afraid. So, you know, if you find yourself wondering, a little bit apprehensive about, is this God or is it not? It is God, but it's very unfamiliar territory. And you're a little bit fearful of what's going to lie ahead. And this is why God told me, before you ever started this process of me, start building up your most holy faith, because you're going to need it. And it took a whole lot of faith to follow God blindly into the path He's brought me into. And I'm quite sure the same is going on in each one of your lives. It's taken an awful lot of faith to follow God in the path He's put your feet on. And now, see, as things go on, it's even going to be more mind-boggling, because now He said, I'm going to take some of you down a new path. You know, you thought all along you were headed one way, and now all of a sudden God's changing the path. And He's not taking you where He was going to take you. He's now changed, and He's taking you to a different place, because now He's growed you up enough where He can take you over onto this more serious path that He has. A path that not a lot can go on, because they are not strong enough to endure what's on that path. All right? So if God's switching paths with you, I would be happy about that, because that means you are a strong tower that others can run into, and God trusts you, and He can use you in this great and mighty path that He has you on. Amen? Understand this. You've grown up. You're not the baby you were when you first began. And God now is trusting you, and he's going to give you more power, more authority, and you watch and see what you're going to do with the devil's kingdom. Amen. See, each one of us in here tonight, we should be to the place every time we put our foot on the, every time we open our eyes, really the devil's, oh, no, they're awake. That's what he should think about you. That you have grown so much in the Lord, you're so strong, he is scared to death of you. But maybe some of you in here, he says, oh, look who's up, smack him back down again. You don't bother him at all, you know, the devil I'm talking about. Amen. If you do deliverance for very much, for very long, after a bit, the devil says, I know who you are. Yeah, and I know who you are too. Right? As you spend time with me, God's still saying, I will give you conviction how to proceed. And as you decide to leave the old way, you will fly into your new territory. It will be like sky gliding. You will learn to take strength from my wind. I am able to hold you in the air. I desire for you to mount in my strength with levels of waiting on me, then moving as I direct. Please don't anybody in this room move without God telling you where to go or how to go or when to go. Please don't. You're going to find yourself in such a mess if you do. Only by going in my strength, the expected blessings, the abundance, the overturning events will come. On the wings of this strength, you will race to a new level of exploits in me. Hear what he said? On the wings of this strength, you will raise to a new level of exploits in me. God wants to take everybody in this room so deep that you will see things in the supernatural that other people are not seeing, that a new strength will come upon you, that you will be able to overtake the enemy at every turn, and that you'll be able to lead soul after soul after soul to Christ. It won't be labor. It'll just be you're so full of Christ that they'll just be drawn to you. But can he do that to each one of you tonight? Have you solely, totally, and completely submitted your will to God that he can do anything that he wants to do with you? Now, I know we get all excited. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Yep. But there, it comes a point in your walk with God when you realize this is hard. This battle's getting rougher and rougher and rougher. And I don't know if I can still do this or not. I'm going to tell you at that point, God will speak to you and say, yes, you can. Yes, you can. Keep going. Yes, you can. Hold my hand. Keep going. Yes, you can. And he'll put you on somebody else's heart and they'll pray for you. They'll undergird you with prayer, and you'll find yourself being strengthened. You won't understand what's going on, but I'm telling you what's going on. You'll find yourself strengthened, and you'll find yourself able to go on and do the great mighty works that God's calling you forth to do. This is not the time to sit down. It is not, because we are just about ready to get into that great and wonderful thing that God is doing. And if you sit down now, you're going to want to blow your head off. When you found out you quit, just as you're ready to step into the victory circle. Amen. I know that there isn't a soul in this room that won't say yes and amen to the fact that you've been, right now, you're being fought more than you've been fought in your life. That every devil in hell is arrayed at you. Everything that could go wrong is going wrong. That isn't going on in my life because I've already gone through that. But I can guarantee you there's some of you sitting in here that is going on. Why is that going on? That's going on to make you quit. Make you consider, is this really God that's calling me to do this? And whenever you get to that place, God's going to place somebody in your life that's going to say, come on, you can make it. Or somebody's already in your life saying, come on, this is God. You can make this thing. Keep moving, keep moving, keep moving. Because he's doing that to you, now you are commissioned to do that to others. You are commissioned to say, come on, I don't care. He'll light upon your heart to encourage them in some way, shape, or form. Come on, you can do this thing. Now, how many of you know, let's say you yourself, you went to a church, you didn't understand everything that was going on in the spirit realm, and you did some dumb things. And now since you understand the spirit realm, you'd like to knock yourself in the head. How could I have been so dumb to do those things? Well, don't worry about it. Everybody that's walking with God has been there, has done that. I don't care what kind of title they have. I don't care who they are. Everybody has done things they wish they wouldn't have done in their walk with God. Absolutely everybody. I think Jesus is the only one who didn't. Amen. We have passed every test. You're listening. I'm talking to you people that belong here. You have passed every test that God placed before us, and now He has brought us to the place of separation, total separation from the world and all its idols. God told me that this church is now ready to be separated totally and completely from the world, and to pick up their cross every day and go forth and not be ever be defeated ever again. He has brought us up to a place of total surrender to Him and His ways and His challenge. And He told me, His callings. He told me, daughter, He said, quit looking at the outside, because the heart really is surrendered to me. And even though the outside flesh is still struggling, the heart is totally and completely sold out to me. And I will be able to use each and every one. I'm going to take care of the flesh. I'm going to burn it all up. Believe me, I will. And He said, but you just keep going on, because they've passed the tests. All right. Now God is able to guide us with His gentle right hand and lead us totally in the path He would have us to go. So each one of you sitting in here tonight, that you've gone through all this stuff, all this junk, God told me you are ready now to be separated totally and completely from the world. And He said nothing, absolutely nothing, is going to sway you ever again. Even if you're just brand new in the Lord, just with what you know, God can separate you from the things of the world. You don't have to be in a church 20 years. You don't have to be coming to these meetings for the last year. But if you're brand new to the Lord, you're loving Him and you're trusting Him and you're trying to understand what this change is all about, God can separate you from the world. He can do it instantly and you won't have the struggles you used to have. And this is what God wants to do tonight. He wants to separate us totally and completely from the world. That when people look at us, they will no longer see any part of the world in us. But all they're going to see is Jesus Christ. All they're going to feel is the anointing that's within us just vibrating out from us. And every place we go, everything we touch, everything we do is going to be changed totally and completely. Now, if you're ready for that total separation, God's ready to touch you and totally separate you from the things of this world.